Ladies and gentlemen, I guess we'll get started. First of all, good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us. And an incredible thank you to Rabbi Turchiner, the Rosh Kollel of the Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, for organizing this absolutely incredible day of learning. We're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. It's crazy how soon it seems to be. And I can't think of any better way or more fitting and appropriate opportunity to prepare for Rosh Hashanah than to spend a day learning, not just about Rosh Hashanah, but about Yom Kippur, obviously, and about Sukkot. So a kol hakavod to the Beit Midrash for this incredible idea. Thank you as well to the Lax family for sponsoring the entire day in memory of their father, Mr. Ben Lax, Dov Ben Mordechai. This shiur, as well as all the shiurim, should certainly be li'ilui nishmato. I was given the topic of speaking about Yom Kippur, but in particular, the concept and the idea of Jewish thought as it relates to Yom Kippur. So by way of introduction, when I think about Jewish thought on Yom Kippur, and I would say the theme and the idea that often troubles me the most is the concept and the idea of Schar V'Onesh. Really, what am I doing during the day? I spend the day involved in tshuva. I spend the time klopping al chet, going through my different averot, perhaps some mitzvot that I engaged in the previous year, trying to take a cheshbon hanefesh around what my year was like and asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu for not just forgiveness, but completely wiping.
Sorry, Rabbi, you were accidentally muted.
I think I'm unmuted now, right?
Yes.
Okay. I hope it wasn't something I said.
No.
Okay, good. Excellent. So I spend the day involved in prayer, trying my best to gain favor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we all do. And the concept and the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should wipe the slate clean and grant us a year of bounty, of blessings, of health, happiness, and success. But it's not always that simple, as you know. And what I'd like to do is, I'd like to explore this topic a bit and borrow an idea at the end, a message that I heard around 10 years ago, just over a decade ago, from a teacher and mentor of mine, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, where he suggested a concept and idea that has sat with me for really the last 10 years, and I've thought about it every year on Yom Kippur, and I'd like to share it with you in the hope that it may have an impact on your Yom Kippur and perhaps enhance your experience. Now, I called the title of the shiur Reconciliation and Resolution. It actually initially had a longer title, but Rabbi Turchiner is the master of titles, and he told me that I had to shorten the title. He also thought perhaps Reconciliation, Resolution, no one will know what the title means anyway, so you could talk about anything you want. But the reason I chose those two words is because that's really what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. You're welcome to look at the sources that Rabbi Turchiner shared, or I will be using the screen share right here as well in the context of sources as I go through them. But if you look at Google and you see the definitions of them, you see that reconciliation is the action of making one view or belief compatible with another, and resolution, the action of solving a problem, dispute, or contentious matter. It's the idea of really bringing two things together that don't seem to work well. And I want to start with the machzor, actually, that I grew up on, many of you perhaps grew up on, the Birnbaum machzor. I don't use it anymore. I actually use the Koren machzor now. But that was the machzor I grew up on. And I want to point out to you the translation at the bottom here that we're going to come back to later on at the end of our discussion, and how the Birnbaum machzor in particular translates this phrase that we say on Musaf of Yom Kippur. We, of course, say it in Rosh Hashanah as well, but a famous phrase that perhaps epitomizes our Yom Kippur tfilot, found in Netanya Tokef, where we say tshuva tefila utstaka ma'avirin et roa hagezera, But the Birnbaum Malkster translates it as, but repentance, prayer, and charity cancel the stern decree. Now, it's a great formula. It seems to be an amazing translation, and it seems, if you will, like a translation that we should want and that we should want to adopt. We, very simple, we engage in prayer all day long. We engage in the process of introspection and tshuva. We give tzedakah, we give charity, and we cancel the stern decree. So whatever it was, which was the decree, we now have the ability to cancel it. I like it. It's a good system. It works well. And in fact, this is very consistent with a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right over here. I'll read it to you nice and slow. I accidentally highlighted some keywords, so I'll read it to you nice and slow as we do it. But Rav Kruspadai, Amar Rav Yochanan, he tells us in a famous way, Shlosha Sfarim Miftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are open in Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Rishayim Gemurim, Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Ve'echad Shel Beinonim. Famous idea that these three books represent three different groups of people, the righteous, the wicked, and those who are in between. And he tells us a system that those people who are righteous, Tzadikim Gemurim, are Nechtavim V'Nechtamim La'alter, signed and sealed away immediately, Lechayim, for life. And the Rishayim Gemurim are Nechtavim V'Nechtamim La'alter, Lemita, unfortunately, for death. And the Beinonim are Tluyim V'Omdim from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. Zachu Nechtavim L'chayim, Lo Zachu Nechtavim L'mita. If they were successful, they move over to Chayim. And if they were not successful, then unfortunately, that's not their judgment. But the problem that I want you to think about, and a problem that many think about, is without being sacrilegious here, it's simply hard to accept this when we look at the reality of the world around us. We look at life, we look at the world around us, and we see incredibly wonderful people who pass away. It's only natural. This is part of life. And we see people who seem to be wicked, who seem to prosper, and they seem to have incredible bounty, wonderful years. They seem to gain all sorts. How do we understand this philosophical quandary and this issue with our Gemara from Rav Kruspadai? It's not a new question. It's a famous question. It's a question of tzaddik v'ralo, righteousness, bad things happen. It's a question of schar and onesh. It's a question, frankly, that comes out of this past week's Parsha. When you look at Parsha Kitava, which we read yesterday, there seemed to be a clear dichotomy that exists between following mitzvot and not following mitzvot. Follow the mitzvot, you will receive reward. Psukim say it very clearly. Don't follow the mitzvot. If you read the parsha carefully, it's not a pretty scene. It's not a pretty picture in terms of what happens. So this is not a new question. It's an age-old question, but I think it's highlighted more so perhaps on Yom Kippur, when in many ways it is driven home by our desire to do our best to make the most out of the day and to do our best to achieve slicha, mechila, kapara, that forgiveness that we are trying to achieve from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what I'd like to do is, I'd like to give you a few suggested answers. I don't necessarily believe that any of them will sit well with you per se, or that any of them will necessarily answer the question. But my real goal is, after we go through some of these suggested answers, coming back to how we started with a message that, as I mentioned, is very meaningful to me and something that sits with me on Yom Kippur when I daven, and a Jewish thought that I think about that I find very meaningful. So let's start with a few answers to this question: how we understand this Gemara by Rav Kruspadai, how we rationalize and accept this construct in the context of Yom Kippur and our goals for the day. So I want to start with a sefer called Akedat Yitzchak. Sefer is written by Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, okay? And he writes at the bottom here, two different answers. Now let's first focus on this question. The print is not great. I'm sorry, but I'll read it nice and slow and we'll go through it slowly. He says, V'zeh, at the top here, ki kama rishayim gemurim lo metu berov hashanim. We see many rishayim who don't pass away during their days, right? And he says, v'kama chasidim, and many righteous people, gemurim, who are nechratu yimeihem, whose days are cut short. V'eich amar, she'atzadikim gemurim, nechtavim, v'nechtavim la'alter l'chayim. How does the Gemara of Krispadai say it? It doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to fit with what we're looking to accomplish and looking to achieve. So he says, v'yesh betartzim. He gives two answers. Number one, he says, she'ein ma'aseh ha-tzadikim v'harishayim mikarim libnei adam. It's an interesting answer. The idea is that maybe the actions of the tzadikim and the rishayim are actually not clear to us. We look at a person and we say, oh, he's a tzadik, or she's a rasha, or vice versa, she's the tzadik and he's the rasha. But maybe we're wrong. Maybe our judgment's wrong. Maybe how we evaluate character is inappropriate. Maybe how we look at individuals is simply misguided. It's possible. We don't know. So says and suggests Rabbi Arama that maybe the Gemara is correct, the construct is correct, the plan works, the system works, the formula is perfect without any flaws, but our vision is blurred. Our judgment is wrong. Now, the problem with that is, let's be honest, it's hard to accept that. There are people who we know are good people, and there are people who we seem to know who just don't seem to be. How do we jive that with what seems to appear here in the context of this Gemara? That's answer number one. Second answer he tells us is, I'm not going to go through it, but he says maybe it's about Olam Haba, that this Gemara is talking about the world to come. In fact, I'm going to jump up a little bit. It's actually the same answer that Tosfot brings on our Gemara over here, where Tosfos tells us, Klomar lechaye Olam Haba. He says that this Gemara is referring to the Olam HaEmet. And of course, we call it the Olam HaEmet because it is truthful in its judgment. And when the Gemara talks about judgment being exact, the context of Tzadikim and Rishayim, perhaps it's referring to this Olam Haba, this Olam HaEmet, and maybe that's how we understand what is being given over and how we can accept this Gemara that seems to simply not work with the reality that life appears in front of us. So that's a possibility, and those are two answers. Now, I take you now to the Medrash Rabbah, a Medrash that appears in Parsha Noach, where the Medrash quotes Rabbi Akiva, okay, and he says the following. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik ima tzadikim v'gova mehem miyot masim ra'im sh'asu b'olam hazeh kedei lahashbi'a lahem shalva v'litein lahem schar tov la'olam haba. The idea is similar to what we suggested in Tosfot before, but with a slight nuance difference, that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu causes the righteous to suffer, or vice versa, he's giving them a little bit of punishment here in this world so that they can benefit fully and completely without any issues whatsoever in Olam Haba. And what we see as punishment, or what we see as not making sense, again, is meant to build this individual so that he can receive God's bounty in Olam Haba without anything missing whatsoever. And that is, again, I don't want to say a different answer, but perhaps a slight nuance that I think is valuable and worthwhile when we consider this concept, this idea of Olam Haba. Now, let me just take a look at something here. Okay, that's good. Okay, now, as we continue on, I want to take you to the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchot Tshuva. I'm sorry that it got cut off at the top, but it says Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Gimel at the top here. We're going to go a little bit closer here so you can see this a little bit better. I probably should have done that before. And I want to look at the Rambam, which is the section in the middle here, and the Ravid, which is this piece over here, because both the Rambam and the Ravid are telling us things or ideas that are incredibly important in the context of this question and this discussion. So first of all, the Rambam's talking about our Gemara, he's talking about our concept, and he tells us the following. It's highlighted. He says, "V'shikul zeh, eino lifi minyan, hazuchuyot va'avonot, ela lifi gadlon." He says, when we determine this idea and this concept of mitzvot and aveirot, and what works and what doesn't work, it's not a question of numbers, per se, but different mitzvot carry with them different weights and different values. Yesh zechut, he writes, she keneged kama avonot. There are certain mitzvot that are incredibly great. V'yesh avon, she keneged kama zechuyot. And there are certain aveirot, which are very powerful and carry with them an incredible weight. And judging them and determining that value, of course, is impossible for us. So when we're looking at tzaddikim, when we're looking at this idea and this concept of Yom Kippur, and we're trying to figure out where we fit in, are we a tzaddik, are we a rush, are we a beinoni, it's very hard to make a determination, in effect, because we don't know the value of the individual mitzvot. And that might sit well with some of you as an answer to help us to understand what I've presented as an age-old question and a quandary and an issue that bothers us terribly. But I think that many of us will still be bothered by it, and many of us will still feel a bit empty as we approach Yom Kippur and we think about this Gemara of Rav Crispadai. Maybe the Ravid will make us feel a little better. I actually find some comfort in the answer that the Ravid gives us. What does the Ravid say? He says, "Lo kimo shehu sover, kishe amru rishayim nechtamim la'alter lamita shemiyad." That immediately it happens that they pass away. Or the same is true on the other end. He tells us, Chaim, we see Rishayim that are alive. Harbe. Ella, what does Nechtamim La'alter mean? He says, Shalo Yimlu'u Yimeihem. That they won't fill up their days. Meaning that an individual has a prescribed amount of time that they're supposed to live for. And I don't know if it works in terms of every Yom Kippur, that certain years are knocked off the total amount, or maybe it's just one Yom Kippur. But the point being is that when they are nechtam lemita, because they're a Rasha, there's a certain deduction made from their total years. And that deduction is significant, and that deduction will impact how long they live and impact their total number of years that they are in Olam Hazeh, on this earth, here with us. And maybe that brings some level of comfort, because perhaps that's something that we can wrap our heads around and we can look at it and say, okay, you know, that makes sense. I hear that. We'll see one or two other ideas. The Sefer HaChinuch, beautiful Sefer, counting the mitzvot on Parshat Emor. In the context of our Gemara, he quotes this idea of the Shlosh Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah, the three books that are open in Rosh Hashanah. But he tells us that a Tzadik Gamor is a person who is kulo zakai. He's complete in his merits. And a Rosh Hagamor is kulo chayev. He's an individual who has no merits whatsoever. That's what the Nechtam Miyad means. And if you don't fit into those two categories, then perhaps this doesn't apply to you. Now, it's not so easy, though, that this is a great answer, because in the end of the day, the Beinonim, after Yom Kippur, they still will get their Gemar Din, Shelayim Nechtam. So it only works for a little bit, but it introduces a new concept and a new idea that's worthwhile to think about here. We're going to skip, this is the translation for that Sefer HaChinuch. We're going to skip a beautiful medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, but I wasn't sure if we'd have time to get to it or not, but even though we're not going to get to it, I'm including it in the sources. You're welcome to read the English on the side because it's really very meaningful. Rabbi Turchiner has posted the sources in the chat. You can download them, you can save them, you can read them another time. Obviously, it goes without saying that if anyone has any questions, you're welcome to reach out to me individually. Rabbi Turchiner, if it's okay, maybe perhaps post my email address in the chat at some point between now and the end. But I want to jump to two last pieces because I want to make sure I finish in exactly 8 minutes. The Gemara in Brachot on Daf Hey Amad Aleph, okay, tells us Amar Rava, the Itamer of Chizda, highlighted over here. Im roa adim shi yusurin bayim alav yifashfish b'masav. If a person sees that yusurin happened to them, they should look into their actions and try to determine what's going on. What have I done wrong? Why are these yusurin happening? Is there something perhaps I could learn from this? Okay? And you go into it and you look into it, and if you can't find anything, it tells us yitla bibitul Torah. Then you know what? Maybe there's bitul Torah involved, which is, applies to everyone, potentially. It's very hard to find anyone who could make the claim that they haven't experienced a moment of bitul Torah, of not being involved in learning Torah for a moment in their life, for a moment in their year. I don't want to say it's an easy catch-all, but it's hard to explain or say, no, that doesn't apply to me. It applies to everyone. But he goes further, though, and he says, v'im talav alo matzah, if he still can't figure it out, then b'yadua sheyisurin shel ava him. Then maybe this is what he calls yisurin shel ava, punishments with love. The idea being is it's afflictions of love, and I include the art scroll over here as well for you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using that and demonstrating that love to us. And I close with that because I mentioned Rabbi J.J. Schachter and an idea that he pointed out that I heard from him over a decade ago, and now I want to share that idea. He pointed out that the translation that we began with, I want to just review it for you real quick, all the way at the top. We started with this idea and this concept right here of tshuva tefillah tzedakah ma'avira d'roa ha'gezeira. He pointed out that he's not sure that the translation is actually accurate, that it cancels the stern decree. There's actually a hey there at roa ha'gezeira, which is significant. And in fact, if you go to more modern translations of the Machzor, okay, and I'm going to point out to you both Koren, this is the Koren Machzor, Musaf on Yom Kippur, Netanya Tokef. I want to point out to you the Koren translation, and then we're going to look at the Art Scroll translation. Koren translates it as repentance, prayer, and charity avert the evil of the decree. Now, you might think about it and say, wait a second, isn't that the same thing? Well, not necessarily. I'm going to suggest why. Let's look at Art Scroll. Okay, this is again, we're in Musaf Yom Kippur, same idea. Chaz's repetition of Shmon Esrei, we're within a ton of Tokef prayer. And again, Art Scroll, right over here, gives us a translation. Repentance, prayer, and charity remove the evil of the decree. Now, what's the nuance? The nuance is that it almost makes it sound like maybe the decree is still there. I haven't necessarily canceled the decree, and I haven't necessarily been successful in canceling the decree. But you know what? Maybe I've removed a little bit of the evil of the decree. What does that mean? What are we suggesting? So what I'd like to suggest to you, and this is something that I think about on Yom Kippur, and it makes Yom Kippur more meaningful to me, that the process during Aseret Yemei Tshuva and the process we began at the beginning of Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, maybe it started when we began the month, maybe it started last night when we started saying Slichos, maybe it starts for some of us on Erev Rosh Hashanah, of being involved and engaged in prayer, more prayer, and introspection, and charity, is a process that has the byproduct of developing and building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm building that slowly but surely has an impact on me and who I am over the context and the course of this yontif and this experience. And it compounds itself. Every year that I involve myself and I engage in an introspective process of prayer, of tshuva, and I give more tzedakah, I build that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it grows and it develops and it gets stronger and stronger. And when I build that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I'm able to develop that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you know what happens? What happens is I become a better person. I become a stronger person. And I become an individual who's better able to handle the bumps that life throws my way. Because it's inevitable that there will be ups and downs in life. It appears and it exists for everybody. But the question becomes, who can handle it and who cannot? And the explanation of Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah Ma'avir Et Ro'ah HaGezeira is the idea that it removes the evil of the decree, because the decree is still there, maybe. But maybe it's not as bad. Maybe it's not as evil, because maybe I'm able to handle it just a bit more because of the process of the Tshuva Tefillah Utzdaka. I included two quotes on the first page from Rabbi Soloveitchik because I thought they're very meaningful when we think about this, and I'll close with that. He says, these questions that we're asking, there aren't good answers. We do not inquire about the hidden ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, but rather about the path wherein man shall walk when suffering strikes. We won't understand. We can't understand. The question is, what should we do? What path should we take? What direction should we take? How should we react? What should we do? And finally, we must never acquiesce in evil. Make peace with it. Or condone its existence. Don't accept it on any level. Defiance and opposition to evil, employing all means that God put at man's disposal, is the dominant norm in halacha. Science intervention is fully endorsed and justified. The idea being is that we're not supposed to accept evil. We're not supposed to accept challenges. We have to fight them. We have to do everything we can to win those battles. But in the end of the day, they exist. And I would suggest to you that the more we engage in the tshuva tefillah utzdaka process on Yom Kippur in particular, but throughout Aseret Yemei Tshuva and throughout Elul, the more that our day is focused on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the stronger we will be and the stronger our impact will have on who we are and how well we're able to withstand some of these challenges and some of these bumps that will naturally occur throughout life. Thank you for listening. Happy to take any questions via email, but at this point I have to pass it off to Rabbi Turchiner, who's going to be giving the next shiur at 5 o'clock. I wish all of you a ktiva v'chatima tova and a shana tova.